Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'o Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur three lines from the top of Daf Ches. We quote from the Mishnah, She'efer kira muchon hu. The word She'efer is preceded by a shin. The shin gives the impression that it is coming to explain that which was mentioned just before. So the phrase just before in the Mishnah on Daf Beis had said, "Umoidim shim shochat," the Beis Hillel will concede to Beis Shammai that if a shechita took place, if they shechted a chaya or oaf, shiachbor bedeker v'yachaseh, that they should make use of the shovel and cover the blood. She'efer kira muchanhu, and that would mean because the ash of ovens is prepared. What does one thing have to do with the other? What in the world does ash found in ovens have to do with kisui hadam that they concede can be done if shechita took place? So the Gemara points this out. Efer kira man dekar shmei. Who made any mention of ash found in ovens? And as we explained, the Mishnah seems to be using the presence of ash in ovens as an explanation of that which preceded it, but there doesn't seem to be any connection. Omar Rabo, Hochi Ka Omar. You're supposed to understand the Mishnah as follows. Ve'efer kira muchan hu. It's really a separate point of information. The Mishnah had been discussing the possibility of doing kisui adam, and the Mishnah adds, ash found in ovens is considered something muchan, prepared for the purpose of covering the blood. So that there are different substances, different materials that are suitable for covering blood. Let it be known that ash found in ovens is muchan, is available for Yom Tov use. Before we go further, we have a marking. We see a diamond around Rav Yehuda, and on the side, we indicate these are Dine Rav Yehuda. We have Halochas of Rav Yehuda, and they are connected to one another in the sense that we're dealing with Kisui Hadam and that which is available for that purpose. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Lo Shonu, the Heter, the allowance, the permission of using ash found in ovens, Elo Shehusak Me'erev Yom Tov, that it's ash that was as a result of that which was burnt, fueled from before Yom Tov, so that that which was there from before Yom Tov is on his mind, he has kavoni, he has intent for its use, and therefore it's permissible. Avol Husak B'Yom Tov Aser. However, if it's ash that developed as a result of the wood burning on Yom Tov, well, you can't say his mind was on it from the day before. It wasn't there. So it's not allowed, because that which you use on Yom Tov must be prepared from beforehand, must be designated from beforehand, or at least must have been thought about beforehand. Otherwise, you run into the problem of muktzes, something that isn't available for Yom Tov use. V'im roi litzlois boi beitza muter. If you have ash that was a result of a Yom Tov burning, and the ash is still hot, there's still coals in it, and suitable for roasting an egg, so it is allowed. The Rashi elaborates, we look at Rashi together, mutar. A few lines up from here in the Rashi, Demei Esmol, Ba'oidom Eitzim Hoyimuchonim, Lehesig Luvashiv Litzlois, from before Yom Tov when they were in wood form. So it was available for Yom Tov use for serving as fuel for cooking and for roasting. V'yodenu b'tashmi shozen. It's still hot and still in that form. V'aydi d'chozi lafuchi bei midi l'tzlias beitza. And since it's suitable for use for roasting an egg, which is an allowed Yom Tov action, shokel le'nami u'monach le'al adam. You're also allowed to take it, just like you're allowed to flip it around and move it around for roasting eggs. You can take it, the ash as well, and cover the blood. Tanyo nami hochi, and a Tanaic source is presented to support this. Kishomru efer kira muchanhu, when it was taught that the ash in ovens is muchan, is prepared for Yom Tov use, and for kisui hadam, for covering the blood of the slaughtered chaya and oaf. Lo omru ela shehusak me'erev Yom Tov. That is so, only that if it was burnt and made into ash from before the onset of Yom Tov. Avul husak b'Yom Tov aser. However, if it's a function of its burning on Yom Tov, so it would be forbidden. V'imroi lutzos bo beitza mutter. If it's still hot and fit for roasting in it an egg, it is allowed. It is allowed, meaning it's allowed to be used also for kisui hadam. Hichnis ofor leginosa ulechur bosoi mutter. If a person brought into his garden or a ruin, and he brought in a large amount of dirt and put it in one spot, mutter l'chasos bo, it's allowed to be used, because as long as it's piled up, his mind is on the use of the dirt for any purpose. V'omar Rav Yehuda, machnis odom maloi kuposo ofar, v'oise bo kol tzarcho. Rashi across from here says, machnis odom maloi kuposo ofar, bistam, for without any specific purpose. A person can bring into his house a box full, it's a quantity, maloi kuposo, a box full of dirt, v'nos mokom echad, and put it in one place, v'oise bo kol tzarcho, and use it for any need. For lo amrinon botel legabi karka bayis aidi dezutra, and we don't say that since it's a small amount relative to the surface area of a house floor, that it becomes void and nullified to the house floor, but rather it remains available for any use. Continuing in the Gemara, Dorash Marzutra Mishmei de Marzutra Rabo, Marzutra quotes the great Marzutra, V'hu shiyiche lo keren zavis. Rashi explains, V'hu shiyiche lo, V'lo shotcha, the dirt that we spoke about that he brings into his house, it has to have been, the Gemara says, put in a designated corner of the house, and Rashi adds, and not that you spread it out a thin layer. As long as he hasn't spread it out into a thin layer of dirt, it's still obvious that the dirt is there for whatever purpose he wants. We're talking about loose dirt, that there's no need for digging nor for crushing. All that is necessary is that it is prepared for whatever purpose. Meisvei. The Gemara, we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, koi, a koi is a creature, and its identity as to whether it's a chaya or a behema is not clear. So it's a type of creature whose status is not clear. It's kosher for sure because it has all the signs of a kosher variety animal. The only thing is that how do we categorize it? Is it a chaya, undomesticated, or behema, a domesticated deer versus cow? So the koi is not clear how to designate it, and there's a practical nafgamina, practical legal difference. As a chaya, it would need to have its blood covered after its slaughtering. If it's a behema, there's no covering of the blood. Now, comes to Yom Tov, when you're allowed to shecht, what about the koi? Koi ain't shechtin osob Yom Tov. A koi you should not shecht on Yom Tov. the problem being that if it's a behemoth and I treat it as if it's a chayah moving the dirt for no reason, and the movement of dirt on Yom Tov for no reason is not allowed. So we tell you, don't slaughter the koi on Yom Tov. V'im shachto, and if you did, ein mechasin es domoi. You don't do the kisadankos. Maybe its legal status is that of a behemoth, and there's no mitzvahs kisui. And as we said, you're not allowed to move the dirt for a behemoth. The Gemara asks, we have this Tanaic source telling us you don't cover the blood. The Esau, if it is so that dirt could have been prepared for all kinds of use, lechasei kidder Rav Yehuda, why not cover the koi blood based on Rav Yehuda's teaching, who spoke about a person who brought a box full of dirt and put it in the corner of his house? So why don't you just draw from that box full of dirt from the corner of your house? So this is the question that's posed, raised against Rav Yehuda. The Gemara responds, ulitameich, according to you that you're asking on Rav Yehuda from this source, you could ask another question, lechaseba efer kira. You could have asked, why not have the koi blood covered with oven ash? The Mishnah said that oven ash is mukhan, is considered prepared. Oh, bedekar notes, or with the dirt that was prepared by having a shovel wedged into it. So instead of asking just on Rav Yehuda, who spoke about the box full of dirt that's available for all your needs, what about this? What about these examples, Elo? The source said, Ein mechasin es domo. You know why? It says, Delesle. The source is talking about a person who doesn't have a ferkiro. He doesn't have a deker notes. So Hachanami, by the same token, with regard to Rebbe Yehuda's scenario, The Tanaic source is speaking about the Lesle. In this source, dealing with the Koi, he doesn't have a box full of dirt that was placed in the corner of his house. Ihachi, if those are the circumstances, my Iria Sofek, why does the source talk about the Koi, whose classification is not clear? Afilu Vadai Namilo, even a sure Chaya. You wouldn't be able to cover the blood. Rashi says, "Afilu vaday nami dohoke beis hillel kaim alon di asri." We hold like beis hillel who forbids. V'afilu dieved, even post factum, meaning even after you shechted below deker notes, if you don't have a wedged in shovel, and you just said that we're talking about where you don't have the wedged in shovel, and you don't have the efer kira, and you don't have a box full of dirt that was prepared in the corner, so the source could have taught the same din of a chaya. You don't shecht it on Yom Tov, and if you did, you don't cover the blood. The Gemara says, what you're saying is correct. However, as far as the source is concerned, lo mibaya komar. The source is in a lo mibaya format. Well, this will be clear as we go on. Lo mibaya means I don't have to tell you vadai a chaya de lo lishchot. It's obvious that something that will definitely need kisadam, don't get started with it. Don't shecht it. Aval safek. But a koi that has a tzad behema to it, it might be a behema. Emo, I might have thought, mishum simchas yom tov lishchoit velo lechasei, that in order to provide cow meat or sheep or goat meat, which are behemoths, and to increase your simchas yom tov, to have additional joy and pleasure on yom tov, which is a goal to strive for, maybe a koi you should be allowed to shecht, because at least you'll have simchas yom tov, and shecht it and don't do the kisu adam. Komash molon, the source is coming to tell me, no, don't even start. Don't even shecht the koi. So that the source has a bigger chiddush by telling me koi as opposed to telling me about chaya. Whereas if it told me about Chaya, the halach is cut and dry. But if it taught me about, but now that it teaches about Koi, it's telling me even where there's a tzad, even where there's a side to say you don't even need to do the kisui, we still don't allow you to shecht it. Of course, as we said, we're talking about someone that doesn't have any means of covering the blood available. The Gemara continues with a question at the top of Amud Beis. Now, the question appears in the Gemara in terms of a very very standard Talmudic structure. However, when we look at the Rashi on this question, you'll see that it's not to be understood simply. The Gemara says, "V'ha mida katani seifa v'im shachtoi ein mechasen es damoi." The source of the end of that source says, the end of the source that we saw on Omid Aleph, regarding the koi, it says, if you shechted it, then don't cover the blood. Michlal, b'di'is le'askinon. It sounds like we're talking about someone that does have the means of covering the blood, and still don't do it. Now, if he had shechted a chaya, you would cover the blood. Just in a case of a suffek, the koi, you don't cover the blood. And we're talking about a case where it sounds like he has the means of doing it. In order to appreciate the question a little more, to refine it, let's look at Rashi at the top. V'homi dekotoni seifa, klomar. This means to say, Bishlamo ein shochtem deresha itzdurike dekoamris. The prohibition of slaughtering the koi, as was featured in the beginning of the Tanaic source, is necessary, and we established the resha as a case where he didn't have any dirt, and it was needed to be taught, don't shecht the koi, delo tamo, that you shouldn't think, as we said, nishchot mishum fo yom tov below kisu, go ahead and shecht anyway to achieve kavod yom tov, the enjoyment, the honoring of yom tov, and do it without the kisui. That, fine. In other words, whatever we explained till the top of this summit is accepted. Elo seifa dekotoni, ein mechasin. The seifa said that if you shechted it, don't cover the blood. If he has no means of covering, he doesn't have a dekernos, he doesn't have a ferkira, he doesn't have a kupa, what do I have to tell you that you don't cover the blood? Hashta vadai ein mechasin. If you have a chaya and it's yontov, and you, which definitely is kisui, you're not going to do it because you don't have any prepared dirt. Suffek mibaya, something like a koi, which is something that goes without saying that you're not going to mechase if you don't have any means. Elo shma mino b'di'islei. The seifa that we read here at the top of the Gemara it represents a different circumstance than the resha. He has dirt. The legabi vadai mechasin. If it were a chaya, he would do the kisui hadam because he has the dirt. He has prepared dirt. The Ashmeinin the Suffolk Low, and this source is telling me that a koi, which is a Suffolk, it's a doubt whether it needs kis or not, it's a doubt whether it's a higher behemoth, it is telling me don't do the kis. And the question now comes back, why not? If he's got the means, he's got the afer of the kira, or he's got the box full of dirt put in the corner, why not do the kisui? Elo Omar Rava. We have a marking scheme here, and on the side of the Gemara, before we proceed, we have the topic heading, Odom Shieshlo Ofer Muchon Ubuchozos Ein Mechasen Dam Koi. As we said, a person has got prepared dirt, and still the source is telling me, don't cover the blood of the Koi. Mivne, this the triangles, Ta'amim Shelo Mechasen Dam Koi. B'yom Tov, we have to now figure out why is it that someone who's got the available dirt and he has a koi, he does not do the kisui adam on the koi using available dirt. the triangles, try to scan ahead on the page. You see a series of them. We have a numbering scheme going down the left-hand side of the Gemara text as well. Elo Omar Rava, Efer Kira, Muchon Levadai V'ein Muchon L'Safek. When we speak about the ash in the oven as being considered Muchon, prepared, it is. It's prepared for things that are of a definite nature. A Chaya definitely needs to have its blood covered, but it's not Muchon, it's not considered prepared for a Safek, for something of a doubtful nature, like the Koi. The Gemara asks, and the question lasts a number of lines, L'safek maitai malo, well, what's the reason that you don't use the offer for kisui? Deka'ovid guma, what, because you're afraid you're going to be making a hole in the dirt? Vadainami ka'ovid guma, for the case of the chaya, then that would be the same problem, and it said, and we're saying that a chaya would be mutter to slaughter and cover. Ela kidarabiaba, the heter, as far as the making of the hole is concerned, well, the heter would be based on Rabbi Abba's teaching that the hole is not a problem. Rabbi Abba was the shita that we saw in our previous year, a chofer guma veinu tzorach la afro, person who creates a hole and all he needs is the dirt, and the hole, as far as he is concerned, is a kilkul, is a ruination. So there's no problem in the making of the hole. So Hochanami, the Gemara continues, Hochanami, so too with the koi kid, Rabbi Abba. The hole is not a problem. We would base ourselves on Rabbi Abba's heter. So why is it usser? Ela, sofek, mai, taimo, the sofek, the koi. Why is it that we don't do the kisui? Dilma, ovid, kisisha. We're afraid that you might grind down, crush the clumps of dirt to make it finer for kisui. Well, then vadai nami nigzor mishum kisisha. So when it comes to a chaya, also that should be on your mind and make a gzeiran, prevent the slaughtering and kisui of a chaya for the same reason that you might come to do kisisha. The Gemara answers, kisisha ki ovid, ki ka ovid kisisha. Sorry, let's read that again. Vadai, when it comes to a chaya, ki kovik sisha, when you are doing the crushing, which we explained in our previous year, has to do with an iser of tochen. So with regard to ksisha, osi asei v'dochi es loy sase. We have a halachic principle that says a positive command, when it confronts a negative command, the positive command in this case is kisui, the need for covering the blood. Dochi means it overrules, it pushes off the negative command of malacha, of the prohibition of doing constructive activities on Yom Tov, and so hence the violation of grinding, of ksisha, of crushing, is overruled. And that explains why, when it comes to a chaya, we don't concern ourselves with that problem. Osi asei comes along the asei of kisui and pushes off the loisase of malacha, of, in this case, kisisha. Question. The principle that a positive command can supersede a negative command, when do we say that it's qualified? A word about these. Mila is bris mila. There is a tzoras is a nega from the realm of mitzoira. A nega, a skin discoloration that leads to tumah, and the Torah prohibits cutting off skin that has a nega, a tsaras on it. Let us say there is tsaras on the foreskin of the child that needs circumcision. So you have a positive command to do bris milah. There's a negative command, hishomer l'cho benega tsaras. Be careful not to cut off tsaras. So the principle states the asay of Mila overrules the negative command concerning Tsaras, and you perform the circumcision. Another example is Sodin B'tzitzis. Sodin is a reference to, literally it means linen, but linen in the context of Shatnez, it is also to have linen and wool woven together into one fabric. Well, can you, let us say, have, if you have a linen garment, put woolen tzitzis into the linen garment? So we say yes. The be'idna, the Gemara continues, how are these allowed? The be'idna, the kama'akir lav, at the point that you're undoing, you're overruling the lav, kama'akim lase, you are fulfilling the positive commandment. In other words, it's simultaneous. You are, at the time that you're cutting off the tzaras, which is otherwise forbidden, you are performing the positive command of circumcising. At the point that you are wearing the mixed types of fabrics, mixed materials, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, of wearing a garment that has tzitzis on it. Hacha, however, when it comes to the kisui adam, be'idno do kamakir lav, at the time that you are uprooting, and the pun might be intended here, but the time that you're uprooting the negative command, you're crushing the dirt, at that point that you're crushing the dirt, lo moikim asei, you're not doing the kisui, you're simply getting the dirt ready for the kisui, but it's not something simultaneous. The Gemara says, holo kashya, this is not an objection. As you are doing the crushing, you can have it. You can have yourself positioned and timed in such a way that as you are crushing the dirt, it's also being sprinkled over the blood. Therefore, by a chaya, even if I do come to ksisha, that does not present a problem. So that as far as Chaya is concerned, I can rely on the principle of Osi Aseh, V'dochi Loisa Aseh. As far as the Koi is concerned, so I don't have the Aseh, therefore the Koi is forbidden. Soif Soif, Yontov equals Aseh V'Loisa Asehu. We still have a question though regarding the Chaya. You said above that there's a difference between koi and chaya. As far as the koi is concerned, so the dirt is not muchan for a sofek. But as far as a chaya is concerned, it's muchan for a vadai. And as far as any problem that you might raise against doing kisui adam on the chaya, well, what's the problem? You're going to do ksisha? We said, osi ase v'dochi lo isase. The Gemara asks, is that really so, that you can do kisui on the chaya? Yom Tov has in it two aspects. Not just the negative command of malocha, but there's an asay. It says, Bayom HaRishon Shabboson. Shabboson means shvus, means you must cease. It's a positive command of you have to cease from constructive activities. So Yom Tov is made up of two mitzvos, positive and negative. The Ein Aseh and the positive command of Kisui Adam is not going to overrule Doiche Es Lois Aseh Ve'aseh. So if this be the case, then we haven't sufficiently explained why only Kai is Asur, but Chaya is Mutter. The Svara we gave above is now weakened, because we see by the Chaya there still is the problem of Ksisha. And if you want to claim that the Aseh Doiche Lois Aseh, we just show you how it's not so. It's an Aseh of Kisui attempting to be Doiche and Aseh analysis, and that doesn't work. Elo Oma Rava, a second presentation of Rava. Efer, now it was, what do we have to explain? We have to explain the source above, which focused the Iser of Kisui only with regard to the Koi and not with regard to the Chaya. And here you're dealing with someone that has the means of doing Kisui. Elo Marova, Efer Kira, Daito Levadai, V'ein Daito Lesofek. As far as the oven ash is concerned, his mind, his mind, slightly different than the explanation we gave before. His mind is on it only for definite needs. His mind is not on it for things of doubt. Therefore, the iser, the prohibition, is a prohibition of muktzah. We have to, just to refine, make sure that the difference between approach number two and approach one, number one, is clear. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is magnificent as always, very sensitive to the fine points. Looking at Rashi first, back up in the narrow lines, the fourth narrow line, Muchan Levade Ve Muchan Lesofek. At that point, we were explaining Rava number one, and he had said that the dirt or the ash is prepared for Vadai and not prepared for Sofek. Now, Rashi says, Kol Salka Daitoch, the thinking is, the Hachi Koma, that what Rava is saying is as follows, Afagav de Daite Lechol Mili, even though his mind is on the dirt for all purposes, Hachnososoi Moyeles Levadai Vieno Moyeles Lesofek, his bringing in is effective only for definite needs and not for doubtful needs. Rashi continues, Uparchinon, and then we ask, the Kevan de Daite Aluye Umishum da Aktsoleka, since his mind is on it for all needs, and hence there is no muktza problem. Sofek my time alone machasinon mishum the kovit guma bitmiyah. Why not cover the koi? It's not muktza. Once you tell me that his mind is on the dirt for all needs, why not cover the koi dam? And as far as the hole making, that's not a problem. What do we see in Rava stage two? In fact, his mind is not on it for all needs. His mind is on the dirt only for definite needs, not for areas of doubt. Therefore, there is a muktza problem. And therefore, as far as the Afer Kira is concerned, the Afer Kira is muktza with regard to non-definite needs. And Rashi, unbelievable how precise he is. And Rashi adds, and similarly, with regard to Rav Yehuda and the box full of dirt placed in the corner. It's there, he brought it in, but he had in mind the use of dirt only for definitive, definite needs, not for doubts, not for a koi. V'ozda Rava Litame. Rava, in having said Daito Levade Vein Daito Lesofek, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a tat no se, a subtopic. Mi Shemechim Litzurich Vadai, someone who prepared something for a definite need. Haim ze nechshav gam hachono litzurich sofek, is that considered prepared for something that is of a doubtful nature, something that's not sure? So now, we continue. What we have to keep in mind, in the back of our minds, is the way Rava is looking at the koi. He's looking at it as a suffix. And Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, V'ozda Rava Letame, D'yomar Misha Daita Levadai, someone who has in mind the use of something for definite purposes, lo rami anafshe lazmuni lamidi desafe. He doesn't place it upon his mind to prepare it also for something that is safek. So that's Rava's approach. Clear distinction between that which is of a definite need. That is what you do think about. You do not have in mind that which is safek, doubtful. And we say this approach is something that Rava has spoken about elsewhere. The Omar Rava. Hichnis ofor lechasos boitzoya. A person brought in dirt to his house for the purpose of covering child's excrement. The thinking here is that a child doesn't have control. He'll be without a diaper, and he'll deposit his excrement in some in a location that will cause you disgust. Henceforth, we'll use the term a disgusting location, but the idea should be clear. He's depositing the excrement in your living room. So, if a person brought in dirt in order to cover that situation, and that's that, by the way, is a situation of doubt. It's not for sure that the child is going to relieve himself in your living room. But if a person brought in dirt with that in mind, so mutar lechasos boy dam tzibor, he can use that dirt also for covering the blood of a slaughtered bird on Yom Tov. Dam tzibor, if, however, he brought the dirt in for covering dam tzibor, osur lechasos boy tzoya. And here you see an illustration of what we saw before. Someone whose mind is on something that's of a definite nature, for example, person plans, he knows ahead of time he's going to slaughter a bird, and he knows for sure that the bird blood needs covering. There's no doubt over here. So fine, you can use the dirt that you prepared for that purpose, but you can't use that dirt for covering the excrement of a kid that might have deposited in a disgusting location. And we're sounding a little repetitive, but the point is, someone whose mind is on something vadai doesn't place upon his mind, doesn't occur to him to have it prepared for something that is suffik. And that's why this, by the way, is dashed underlined. This highlights Rava's point. Nahar Bloi Amri, this is another opinion. The name is explained, who Nahar Bloi is in Maseches Sanhedrin. For our purposes, it is Nahar Bloi. In Sanhedrin, it tells you it's Rami Bar Baruchi or Bar Bribi. So Nahar Bloi holds Afilu Hichnis Ofer Lachasis Boi Dam Tzipor. Even if you did bring the blood in for the definite need of Dam Tzipor, Mutar Lachasis Boi Tzoya, you are allowed to use it for the doubtful situation. The thinking being here that once you prepared it, you prepared it for everything. And we're going to add a point here that we find in the Rashi. He says that the tsoyas tinok is kroivo levadai. Rashi on the third wide line under the Gemara, mutar lechasis boi tsoya, kevan de azminei. Once you prepared it, it's considered prepared. Daha nami korov levadai. The child excrement case is also close to being certain. We continue in the Gemara. Amri b'marava. It has been said in Eretz Yisrael, pligi bo Rabbi Yosi bar Chama v'Rabbi Zera. These two Amoroyim argue. The Amri law, another version of names. Rava braid Rabbi Yosi bar Chama v'Rabbi Zera. Instead of Rabbi Yosi bar Chama, you have Rava Brei to Rav Yosef Bar Chama. This, by the way, is the famous Rava of Shas fame. Rava and Rabbi Zera. Chad Omar. One says, Koi Harei Hu Kitsoya. The Chad Omar Koi Einoi Kitsoya. The first one, first opinion, Koi Harei Hu Kitsoya, one who brought dirt in for Tsoa, can use it for covering koi blood. The second opinion, chad omar koi eno kitsoa, means that if you create a relationship between tsoya and koi, tsoya is like vadai versus the koi, which is a real suffix. That's a real, true suffix, and everyone can appreciate that. Even the Rabbanim never defined the status of the koi. The tsoa, as we saw before in the Rashi, according to Nahar Bloi, is korov levadai. So we have two opinions. We have two names, but we don't have the name attached to the opinion. We have Rava versus Rabbi Zera. The Gemara suggests tistayim the Rava who the Omar koi harehu kitsoya. Let us conclude that Rava will be of the opinion that the Kai is like Tsoya. And if you had prepared the dirt for Tsoya, you can use it for the Kai. Now, why should I conclude that? Diyama Rava, and here we have a quote from what we saw before, so we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. Rava had said, Hichnis Ofar, L'chasas boi tsoya, mutu l'chasas boi dam tzipor. One who prepared dirt for tsoya, you can use it for covering the blood of a bird. Dam tzipor, if you brought dirt in for dam tzipor, osur l'chasas boi tsoya. You cannot use it for covering the tsoa. So, how had we explained that? Because the dam tzipor is a varai, and the tsoya is a pure suffik. So you see from here that tsoa is considered a pure suffik, not like the Nahar Bloy said it's korov levadai. It's a pure suffik, and koi is a pure suffik. And that having been said, that is what was said by the Chad Omar, koi hare hu ketsoya. That seeing Rava's original statement that we just quoted, that was taken from above, we see his attitude toward the tsoa. And that attitude being that the tsoa is a very low level thing in the scale of from varai to suffik. It's a real suffik. So being that the case, the opinion that was unnamed, the Chad Omar that said, koi hareu ketsoa, that must be Rava. Hence, just like the tsoa is a real suffik, so too the koi. And if you prepared dirt for a real suffik like the tsoa, so you can use it for the koi, which is also a similar true suffik. As you can see, there's another triangle. Rami Brei Rav Yeva Omar Koi Hainu Taima Delo Mechasinon. Notice we started on the third line from the top with Rava number one. Why you don't do Kisui Hadam with dirt for a koi? Then we saw number two, Rava number two, that explained that the Afer Kiro, the prepared dirt, a person prepares it only for Vada, doesn't prepare it for a suffik. So it's Muksa vis-a-vis the Koi. Rami Brei Rav Yeva Omar Koi Hainu Taima Dola Mechasinon. Different approach. You know why we don't do Kisui Adam on Yontav of Koi blood? Even though you've got the dirt there. Why not? Gzeira Mishum HaToras Chelboi. This is a rabbinic restriction. People will come to an erroneous conclusion. If they see me doing Kisui Hadam after a Koi Shechita, they will think that the Koi is a Chaya. And in the case of a Chaya, its Chelev is Mutter. For those of you who are not familiar with Chelev, let us mention that there are different sections within an animal that this substance is present. A substance called chelev. Sometimes in certain English translations they refer to it as forbidden fats. I'm not sure that it's fats, but because in many cases you find it's actually a membrane around different organs, it's called chelev. And it is a very severe eating it is a very severe offense, resulting in the kores punishment. Chelev is a halachic concept. It's not biology. And what do I mean by that? Because you can have a behema and a chaya. Basically, their anatomical structure is very similar. You'll have the same organs. However, the membrane in the behema, or covering the behema organ, the chelev in a behema is strictly forbidden. The chelev in a chaya is totally permissible. someone who's walking by and sees Kisui Adam taking place, and he sees a creature other than a bird, an animal was slaughtered, well, if he sees Kisui Adam, he's going to automatically assume that it's a chaya, because we know that Kisui Adam is practiced only upon the slaughtering of chayos and not behemos. So if he sees the Kisui Adam taking place, he's going to go over to the animal that was just slaughtered, and he's going to scoop out the chaylev and eat it. Ah, but it's a koi. Maybe it is a behemo. And if it's a behemo, the chaylev is definitely osir. So you know what? We prefer don't do kisui adam of a koi on Yom Tov so that people don't come to eat its chaylev. The Gemara asks, si hachi, afilu b'choyol nami. Well then even during a weekday, don't do kisui adam of a koi. And we know that we do. The Gemara answers, b'choyol amri l'nakir chatzer hutzorach. When people witness kisui adam on a weekday, they aren't going to automatically conclude that it's a chaya. They're going to think he's covering the blood so as to clean his yard. It's just, instead of having blood exposed, there he puts a layer of dirt over it. That's called cleaning his chotzer. So that during a weekday, you don't have that worry. By allowing kisui adam of a koi on a weekday, no mistake will arise. Question: Shochad bi ashpo my equal amemo. What about someone who slaughters in a dirty place to begin with, a garbage dump? Why should he be allowed to be keep mechasid the dam there? They'll think it's a chaya and they'll eat the chaylev. Ba'alim lach my equal amemo. What about someone who comes to ask us what to do? Let's take a look at the Rashi. My Iko Lemeimar. We're looking at Rashi, that's about six lines up from the bottom. Ihu Gufe, someone who comes and asks, I'm shechting a koi, should I do Kisui Adam or not? Well, we're going to tell him, yes, do Kisui. So Rashi adds, Ihu Gufe Osi Lemeimar Chayahu Do Matsuchule Kisui. Not only outsiders are going to think that it's chaya, I'm going to think it's a chaya. If I'm told to do kisu, I'm going to think that it's a chaya. So that the question remains, how is it that we ever do kisui on a chaya? Excuse me. How is it we ever do kisui on a koi? Is it not going to lead to people thinking that it's a chaya? The Gemara answers, B'choyol inami mesafka, on a weekday. That granted that there is an element of doubt. Amri le rabbonon zil tarach v'kasi. On a weekday, people will the rabbonon will tell, go ahead, trouble yourself and do the kisui. People aren't going to think that it's a chaya. B'yom tov, imesafka. On Yom Tov, when you're dealing with something that is a suffake, mi amri le rabbonon zil tarach v'kasi? Would the rabbonon go and say, well, cover it? No, they wouldn't say cover it. Therefore, if someone were to mechase the blood of a chaya, specifically, again, I made the same mistake as before. If he is going to cover the blood of a koi specifically on Yom Tov, it must be that it's definitely a chaya, and that's where people are going to make a mistake. Let's look at Rashi, who refines this. Rashi, five lines from the end. B'choyol inami sveikohu kloimar. B'choyol zeh shehoru lechasois, on a weekday, someone who received a rabbinic instruction to do the kisui, loy machzik le b'chaya vadoyis. He's not going to think that it is a definite chaya. The meimar omar, the person who's covering the blood will figure Inami mesafkelahu l'rabbonani chayi behemo amrilei zil tarach v'kasi. The rabbis will say, look, it's a weekday. We don't know if it's a chayer behema. Just trouble yourself and do the kisui. However, on a Yom Tov, would the Rabbanan possibly say that to somebody? Certainly not. There's an element of doubt. Therefore, kisui of koi blood on Yom Tov would lead people to think that it is a chaya and that its chaylev is mutter. So the fact that on a weekday we will tell people to do kisui of koi blood, that isn't going to lead people to think that it's definitely a chaya. People understand that it's an element of doubt, and people on a weekday will be asked to trouble themselves to cover all bases. Not so on Yom Tov. And therefore, if someone is seen covering the blood on Yom Tov, they will think that it is a definite chaya and scoop out its chaylev and eat it. We continue in the Gemara. Tani Rabbi Zera, lo koi bilvad omru. Not only in the case of the koi do we tell you don't do kisui on Yom Tov, that maybe it's a behema and you'll have done tircha shelo letzorich, you'll have troubled yourself for no reason. Elo afinu shochat behema chayav yoyif v'nis arvu domon ze boze osur l'chasoyso b'Yom Tov. Even a case where a person slaughtered all these different kinds of animals in the same spot and their blood got mixed together, behema does not need kisui. Chayav of require kisui. And he slaughtered them in the same spot and their blood mixed together. It is usur to cover the blood. We're afraid that you're troubling yourself for the behema blood. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Yosniya, lo shonu elo shein yochol lechasoisu b'dikir achas. This prohibition is only if there is, we'll say, so much blood that one shovelful will not be enough. Avol yochol lechasoisu b'dikir achas. If one shovelful would be enough, mutter, then it is allowed, because we figure that you are doing the singular action for the chayav blood that is there. And if that singular action will be is sufficient to cover all of the blood there, then it's mutter. Someone says, pshita, that's obvious. What Rabbi Yossi is telling me is obvious. Is you're not troubling yourself for the behemoth at all with the one singular action. So ma hu de tema, without Rabbi Yossi bar Yisnira, I might have thought, nigzar de kira achas o tushtei de kiras. Let us impose a restriction. Don't even do one shovelful, because if you do one, you might come to do an extra one, another one. Komash malon, Rabbi Yossi tells us that we don't impose that gezerah. We don't impose that restriction. And hence, if one shovelful will be enough to cover the blood, that is enough. It's enough and it's allowed. Omar Rabo, shochat sipor me'erev yom tov, ein mechasin oisoi b'yom tov. If a person slaughtered a bird, which requires kisui adam, but he slaughtered it before yom tov, you're not allowed to do kisui adam on yom tov. Very simply, you should have done it before. And as far as you might say, well, if he doesn't do the kisui adam, he's not going to enjoy Yom Tov, he's not going to have the meat available. That's not true. The kisui adam is not binding upon the use of the meat, so that the meat is still available, but we're not going to allow him to do kisui adam. He should have done it erev Yom Tov. We continue at the top of Daf Tes Omed Aleph, a second halacha. Gilgal Esau. Gilgal is to knead dough. Gilgal Esau me'erev Yom Tov. A person prepared a batter of dough, erev Yom Tov dough. If a person prepared a sufficient quantity, a large enough amount, it has a tithe requirement. We separate from the dough that you prepared a certain amount, and it's called challah. The challah is like truma, and it's given to a kohen. Here the person, and we should point out that there is a general halacha to be aware of, that tithing is not allowed on Shabbos and Yontif. Basically, when it comes to tithing, it's something that you should do before Shabbos and Yontif. And there's an issur derabbanan in tithing because it appears like you are repairing something. In this case, it's food. It's called zera mishum misakein. And in general, repairing things, fixing vessels, and certainly fixing structures, is strictly prohibited on Shabbos and Yontif. Hence, tithing in general is something that's prohibited. And yet we see over here that actually, just one more word of introduction. It is true, tithing is prohibited, but as you know very well, it is permissible to bake on Yom Tov. So if you prepare a dough on Yom Tov, you had no opportunity to tithe it before to remove the challah. So it goes without saying that dough that's prepared on Yom Tov itself, one is allowed to mafrish the challah, and it doesn't come under the general restriction of tithing. The general restriction of tithing is based on the idea that the chiyuv to tithe, the becoming chayav, becoming obligated in tithing, is something that inevitably had taken place before Yom Tov. And since the obligation inevitably began before Yom Tov, you should have taken care of it then. In the case of preparing dough on Yom Tov, you didn't have any obligation before Yom Tov. You didn't have the dough there. The obligation set in on Yom Tov. So under those circumstances, you're allowed to tithe the challah tithe. Here, however, in our Gemara, we are dealing with dough prepared erev Yom Tov. And yet, the first opinion here, Rabba tells you, Mafrish mimeno chalos of Yom Tov. You're allowed to tithe it on Yom Tov. Abu de Shmuel Amar, afilu Gilgal Esau me'erev Yom Tov, ein mafrish mimeno chalos of Yom Tov. Not only general trumas and maestris, you're not allowed to tithe, but dough prepared erev Yom Tov as well, you're not allowed to tithe. Rashi on the top. Gilgil iso me'er of Yom Tov, mafrish mena chalos of Yom Tov, v'yafagav desan l'kamon, even though we were taught later, eilu heimishim shvus, the following are prohibited rabbinically, ein magbi and trumas and maisers b'Yom Tov, you're not to tithe the truma tithe, the maiser tithe on Yom Tov, v'honami k'trumas dogon damyo, this too, the chala, the dough tithe, is like grain tithes, shoyoch lafrisho me'er of Yom Tov, he could have tithed it when he prepared the dough before Yom Tov. Afilu hochi mafrish, even so, Rabbo says, go ahead, you're allowed to tithe the challah tithe. Shelo gozer al trumas isa, they did not impose their rabbinic restriction on the dough tithe. Sharei muter legalgulo b'Yom Tov, v'fuso k'dei lecho paschamo. Since the dough tithe, in contrast to other plant or grain tithes, the dough tithe is a type of tithe that could have its obligation could have originated on Yom Tov itself, and since that could come, that is a reality. As Rashi said, it's mutter to prepare dough on Yom Tov. So in your case as well, where the dough was prepared erev Yom Tov, we still allow it to be tithed. It's different than grain tithes in that sense. Avu de Shmuel, as you can see, is strict. He disagrees. They are not maf. They're not. They don't. According to him, you're not allowed. The Chachamim never allowed tithing challah other than dough prepared on Yom Tov. But this gentleman should have tithed an erev Yom Tov like grain and other fruit tithes. It must be done erev Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, Lema pliga de Shmuel ad Avua. Shall we say that Shmuel, whose opinion will appear very shortly, that Shmuel is at odds with his father? The Omar Shmuel, Chalas Truma Bechutza La'aretz. The Chalas Truma is the dough tithe, from dough outside the land of Israel. Now, with regard to Chala outside the land of Israel, the tithing is rabbinic in nature, so you'll find certain leniencies. So he says, for example, let's say it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, and you have some untithed baked goods. So Shmuel says, Oichel v'hoylech v'achar kach mafrish. You can start eating this untithed loaf and leave over at the end. Well, that is that shows us that it is not like other grain tithes. So that Shmuel, at this, let's say, superficial juncture, treats the dough tithe different than the grain tithe of Trumas and Maisrus. Avor de Shmuel treated the dough tithe the same as Trumas and Maisrus. Omar Rava. Rava responds. He rejects the suggestion of the Gemara and he says, Mi loy moide Shmuel shim koro olei shame sheasura lezorim. Would Shmuel not agree that if before he did the actual, before he started eating, he declared, koro shame is a verbal declaration, he declared a section of the loaf as being challah, that it would be usur for non-kohanim to partake of it. What do we see from that? We see that the shame truma, the truma status, is upon it. And as such, it would fall under the prohibition of tithing trumas and maisus on Yom Tov, just like his father. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Rashi across from here, Oichel v'holech, at this point, Rashi is explaining the Havamina, where Shmuel said, Chalas Trumas Chutzorot, you can start eating and leave over the tithe at the end. Oichel v'holech kol apas, u'mishayir kidei chala, you can eat the loaf and leave the quantity required of chala at the end, u'mafrisha b'achron, is separated at the end. Alma, hafroshasa, Shelo l'tzorachi, so that the actual tithing, let's say the tithing at the outset, would have been unnecessary to do. V'lo havya hafrosha, and if it's not really necessary to do, so it's not considered an act of hafrosha. It's not considered something that would be prohibited. V'hamafrish b'yom tov, eino kemesakein the litzar kishar hagbos truma. The gozer borabonim and nature in the kemisakein, and therefore, since this option exists of starting to eat the loaf and just leaving the truma over at the end, so even if you happen to separate the challah tithe at the outset, it wouldn't be a violation of Yom Tov. That would be at odds with his father. Rashi continues, Mi lo moide Shmuel, afal pi she'eno tzorich lahafrisha, even though, as Shmuel said, you don't have to do the tithe at the outset. However, she'im koro lo shem, let's say he did declare a section of the loaf as challah, v'asura, she'im koro lo shem, she'chal Alei Shem Chala, the Chala status would set upon it, the Asur Lazorim, it would then be forbidden for non-Kohanim. Alma Shem Truma Alea. So we see that the Truma category does set upon it, the Isa Bichlal, Ein Magbi and Truma Sumaisis Biyomtov, and therefore would come under the prohibition of not to separate Trumas and Maisus on Yontif. So that in the final analysis, Shmuel would agree with his father that if he was Korei Shem Chala on it at the outset, it would certainly be usur to be Mafrish. And there is room to suggest, since in potential that exists, you can't initially do a Hafrosha. However, if he ate from the loaf and left over Truma at the end, that would be okay. And that's not something that Shmuel's father would disagree with. But the proactive initial tithing of the Chala tithe at the outset, that Shmuel would agree with, like his father, that is something that is not permitted to do, of course, on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.